Entschuldigung, he called. She paused and turned. I haven't even asked your name. Judy, she told him. Judy Cowell. Thank you, Judy Cowell. It was a slim lead, a loose thread dangling from an old tangle of facts. At some unspecified time in the 14th century, a wandering Mennonite called Fra Joachim had evidently preached a sermon on the sorcerers at Oberhochwald. The text of the sermon had not survived the centuries, but Brother Joachim's oratorical fame had, and a commentary on the sermon had been included in a treatise on homiletics against witchcraft and devil worship. A later reader, 16th century to judge by the calligraphy, had added a marginal gloss. Dieses Dorp hit jetzt Eifelheim. This village is now called Eifelheim. And that meant... Tom groaned and laid the printout on the table. Judy Cow laid a hand on his arm. What's wrong, Dr. Schwerin? Tom batted the sheet. I've got to go back through all these files. He ran his hand through his hair. Oh, well... Povterenia, Matukenia. He pulled the carton closer to him. Judy Cow took a folder from the carton and, eyes cast down, turned it over and over in her hands. I could help, she suggested. Oh, he shook his head distractedly. I can't ask you to do that. No, I'm serious, she looked up. I volunteer. There's always a lull on the server after 8 p.m., The hits from California drop off, and the early morning hits from Warsaw or Vienna don't pick up until later. The math I can't do, but research and documentation... I'll have to check these cartons in real time, of course, but I can also mouse around the net. Well, I can run a search engine, Tom said. No offense, Dr. Schwerin, but no one can mouse the net like a master librarian. There is so much information out there, so poorly organized. And so bogus that knowing how to find it is a science in itself. Tom grunted. Tell me about it. I run a search and I get thousands of hits, most of it Kleibim, which I'm damned if I can figure out how they made the list. Most sites aren't worth the paper they're not written on, Judy said. Half of them are set up by cranks or amateur enthusiasts. You need to bool your search string. I can write a worm to sniff out not only citations of Oberhochwald, but citations of any key words associated with the place, like Johannes Stern, or the Trinity of Trinities, or anything. The worm can be taught to screen for context, that's the hard part, and ignore items that aren't relevant.
All right, Tom said, you've convinced me. I'll pay you a stipend from my grant money. It won't be much, but it'll give you a title, Research Assistant, and your name will go on the paper after mine.
He straightened his chair. I'll key you a special access code for Cliodanus, so you can dump into my files whenever you find anything. Meanwhile, we... What's wrong? Judy pulled back from the table. Nothing. She looked away briefly. I thought we might meet here periodically to coordinate our activities.
Tom waved his hand. We can do that easier over the net. All you need is a smartphone and a modem.
I have a smartphone, she told him, tugging on the string that bound the folder she held. My phone is smarter than some people.
Tom laughed,
not yet getting the joke.
The two cartons they already had on the table were as good a place as any to start, so Tom took one and gave Judy the other, and they went through them folder by folder.
Tom was reading the same items for the second time that night, so he forced himself to concentrate on the words. Searching for Oberhochwald, his eyes were snagged by any word starting with an O, or even a Q or a C. The manuscripts were penned in a disheartening variety of hands, mostly Latin, but some middle-high German, a few French or Italian, a motley assortment, with nothing in common but their donors. 3 hours later, and 2 hours after Judy's shift on the help desk had ended, his eyes red and his brain muzzy, Tom came up for air, clutching a single manuscript page. Judy was still there, and she had found one, too. That Judy could read Latin surprised Tom. He found it curious that a Southeast Asian should be interested in the culture and history of Europe, although the converse would not have puzzled him in the least. So while Tom learned little about Eifelheim that night, you could not say he learned nothing. In fact, he was a little mistaken about Judy Cao's interests. Moriantur amici mei. While Judy read, Tom listened with his eyes closed. This was a trick of his whenever he wanted to concentrate on what he heard. By shutting down one information channel, he thought to heighten his attention on the other. However, he was never known to put his fingers in his ears when he wanted to see something especially clearly. Tom once told me that we Germans keep our verbs in our pockets so that the meaning does not until the end of the sentence appear. Latin can scatter words like candy at Fasching, trusting to its suffixes to maintain discipline. Fortunately, the medievals had imposed a word order on Latin, one reason the humanists detested them, and Tom had a bent for language. My friends are dying despite all that we do. They eat, but take no nourishment from their food, so the end draws ever closer. I pray daily that they not succumb to despair, Oberhochwald being so far from their homes, but face their Creator with hope and faith in their hearts. Two more have taken Christ in their last days, which pleases Hans no less than me. Nor do they place blame with those of us that took them in, knowing well that our time too is coming. Rumors fly swift as arrows, and with as much harm, that the pestilence that gutted the Southlands in the past year even now lays waste the Swiss. Oh, let this be some lesser ill that has come upon us. Let this cup pass us by. And that was all, just a fragment of a journal, no author, no date. Sometime between 1348 and 1350, Tom guessed, but Judy pinned it down more closely. Mid to late 1349, the plague reached Switzerland in May of 1349 and Strasbourg in July, which puts it at the edge of the Black Forest. Tom, reflecting that narrative history did have its points, handed her a second sheet. I found this in the other carton, a petition for redress from a smith in Freiburg to the Herr Manfred von Hochwald. He complains that a copper ingot left by Pastor Dietrich of Oberhochwald as payment for drawing some fine copper wire had been stolen. Dated 1349, Vigil of the Feast of the Virgin. She handed the page back. Tom made a face. Yeah, like that pins it down. Half the medieval year was taken up by Marian feasts. He made another note in his palm top and tugged on his lip. There was something about the letter that bothered him, but he couldn't put his finger on it. Well, he gathered the hard copies together, stuffed them into his briefcase, and snapped it shut. The exact date doesn't matter. I'm trying to learn why the place was abandoned, not whether its priest stiffed a local artisan. But, Alice Gewalt, I've learned the one thing that's made this whole trip worthwhile. Judy closed one of the cartons and initialed the log printed on its lid. She gave him a brief glance. Oh? What was that? I may not be exactly hot on the trail, but at least I know that there is a trail. He left the library to find the night far advanced and the campus deserted and quiet. The classroom buildings blocked the traffic noises from Olney, and the only sound was the soft rustling of the branches overhead. Their shadows writhed in the moonlight. Tom hunched his shoulders against the insistent breeze and headed for the campus gate. So, Oberhochwald had changed its name to Eiffelheim. Why Eiffelheim? He wondered idly. He was halfway across the quadrangle when it suddenly hit him. According to the Moriunter document, the village had been called Oberhochwald right up until the Black Death swept through and wiped it from the earth. Why would a village that no longer existed change its name at all? 5. August 1348, the Feast of San Joachim. Seppelbauer delivered the goose tithe on St. Mary's Day. 2 dozen birds, short and tall, white and dun and dappled, heads at all inquisitive angles, complaining and strutting with the unfeigned arrogance of the goose clan. Ulrika, with her longish neck and undershot chin, looking not unlike a goose herself, ran ahead of the flock and held the gate open, while Otto the goose hound chivied the birds into the yard. 5 and 20 birds, Seppel announced while Ulrika latched the gate. Franz Ambach added an extra bird as a love gift because you ransomed his cow from the hare.
Give him my thanks, said Dietrich with grave formality,
and to the others, too, for their generosity.